to MCC Online. We are honored to have you join us. We are beginning a new sermon series today called Tough Questions. We'll be taking a look at the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a small book in the Old Testament, kind of hard to find, but it comes right after the books of Psalms and Proverbs. You go ahead and turn to that and hold it. We will look at some of it together in a moment. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, in the sunset years of his life, writes this book about how to live life well. And since this is a series on tough questions, I thought we would begin with a little game called Would You Rather? I'll give you a couple of options, and you share your answers with those that are watching this message with you today. Now, there's no right or wrong answers, but it will tell you a whole lot about you. Okay, question number one. Would you rather have fingers as long as your legs, or legs as long as your fingers? Share. I know, it's kind of weird. Question number two, would you rather, for the rest of your life, every room you entered, would you rather be the smartest person in the room or the most popular person in the room? Share. Question number three, this is our last one. Yay! Let's be honest. Would you rather win the lottery or win a Nobel Peace Prize? Share.
Peace Prize.
The reason I'm asking these questions is because for six chapters, Solomon writes his own biography. He tells us how he lived his life. But in chapter 7, he turns toward our future. And he's trying to tell us how to live the good life. And he plays this game, would you rather? And I think it looks like he gets all the answers wrong. For example, would you rather be born or die? Well, duh. But look at what Solomon says in chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than fine perfume. I can agree with that, can't you? And the day of death better than the day of birth. What? Well, that's depressing. Or how about this one? Would you rather go to a funeral or go get a steak dinner? Really? Where's the beef? I'm choosing the steak dinner. But look at what Solomon says in verse 2. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. Are you nuts? And then he says, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. Would you rather get stuck in gridlock traffic in downtown Chicago? Or would you rather go to a clean comedy club and laugh your head off? Seems rather obvious, doesn't it? Here's what Solomon says in verse 3. Frustration is better than laughter. No, it's not. He goes on to say, because a sad face is good for the heart. No, it's not. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, so he must have had some reason for saying stuff like this. And we begin to get a glimpse of it in verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. Now let me ask you, let me see if I can bring this to clarity. Let me ask you, would you expect to hear more wisdom in a eulogy at a funeral or at a fraternity care? I'm just guessing a funeral. I think what Solomon is getting at is this. If you live your life for the moment, you can make some pretty foolish decisions. But when you live your life for the long haul, you tend to live more wisely. He begins to show his hand in verse 5. In verse 5, chapter 7, he says, "It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools." Would you rather be criticized by a wise mentor or praised by the paparazzi? You see, when we live for the moment, sometimes we will choose laughter over mourning. Or we will choose a party over hard work. Or we will choose a drink over a meaningful conversation. I think Solomon is saying, keep the long view in view. I think he's saying that a life well lived is one that is lived deliberately about its destination. So we live for the future, not the moment. Verse 8 actually makes this very clear. He says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride." But you know, as soon as he says that, there's a problem. Now, I'm sure you probably caught it. If I am to live for the future is uncertain. Want me to prove it to you? How many of you ever thought our senior students would possibly not have a senior prom or a graduation ceremony? Or that your elementary students would be finishing up the school year from home on a Chromebook or a computer? How many of us ever thought we would celebrate the highest holy day of all for believers, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the Super Bowl of the faith, that we would be celebrating it on a computer instead of in church? You cannot predict the future. So the question of the day that Solomon is going to try to help us answer is, how can we live with confidence without clarity? Let me speak to the men for a moment. If we're honest men, we're pretty good at projecting more confidence than we really have. We've got all this coolness, this macho-ness, this fearlessness coming out, but inside we're not quite sure we can always pull it off. Case in point, you're driving along with your wife, and after several heavy sighs, she says, "Are we lost?" Now, I admit, if you are me, the answer is obvious. But for every other man on planet Earth, there is only one right answer. Now, you can be completely lost, but men, what is the right answer? Are we lost? No. Lost? Are you kidding me? I could get where we're going with my eyes closed. Or you're helping a friend to move, and you pick up a really heavy box. And your friend asks, "Do you need some help with that?" There's only one right answer. No. You know you're going to have to take 4 Advil tonight, and in the morning you know you're going to hurt in places you forgot you had, but there's only one right answer. Nah, I've got this. Okay, ladies, you can quit laughing at your husbands now. In fact, you can tune out for a moment. You don't really need to know our secrets. Men, we know that inside each of us is a question that just keeps spinning around. Am I enough? You ask a woman you absolutely adore and cannot live without if she will marry you. And for some crazy reason, she says yes. And the question starts spinning. Am I enough to satisfy her needs for the rest of her life? And you have kids. Am I enough that they will respect me? Am I enough to protect my family from the dangers we will face? Am I enough to provide all the things they will need to survive in this world? Now, we don't ask that question out loud, and maybe not every day, but inside each of us is this lingering question of insecurity, am I enough? And we take that insecurity into the face of an uncertain future, and we're on a collision course. And I shouldn't say just men. Every head of the household struggles with keeping up the facade of confidence to others while that question spins around inside of us. Single moms, two-income households, even successful executives. Will I be able to pay the rent? Do I have enough insurance for my kids? What if something breaks down? The car, a major appliance? Am I saving enough for retirement? You don't know, and we don't like uncertainty. The way to deal with uncertainty is to anchor your life to whatever is certain. Sadly, the only thing certain is future uncertainty. I can hear you now. Well, thanks a lot, Pastor David, for that. That boosts my confidence a lot. Well, don't blame me. Solomon said it. Look at chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. And for the rest of the book of Ecclesiastes, from chapter 8 to chapter 12, Solomon will drive home this one idea, that since we cannot know the future, we better know the Father.
Amen.
Now, if you know Solomon's story, you will also know he was not very good at that for most of his life. In the first six chapters, and we'll go over those in the coming weeks, but for the first six chapters, in his own words, he says he lived his life as one experiment after another to find the meaning of life. And all of them were chasing after the wind. He tried to find meaning in building things. He built a fine palace. It was magnificent. He built a temple, none other like it in the world. He built the city of Jerusalem. And at the end of it all, he was empty. So he tried parties. And he tried to find meaning at the bottom of a bottle, only to find his own empty reflection. He tried to find meaning in, shall we say, human companionship. Solomon had 700 wives. You know, for the wisest man who ever lived, that's pretty stupid. I mean, you would think, as wise as he was, at least by wife 247, he'd catch on and say, but this isn't working. But no, 700 wives. And he added to them 300 porcupines. Okay, concubines. And that did not work, so he tried making money. And that did not work, so he tried education. He tried all these experiments to find the meaning of life, only to realize it is meaningless if you don't know the Father. Is this sounding familiar to anyone? Well, here's the good news. Good news for you, good news for me. I'm going to say this with an absolute straight face. You have the ability to be wiser than Solomon in knowing the Father. Now, I say that because you and I know two things Solomon did not know. 27 times in just 12 chapters, Solomon says, under the sun, S-U-N. Life is hard under the sun. Life under the sun has injustice. Life under the sun is frustrating. There is pain. There is sadness. 27 times under the sun. And Solomon said, after it all, after everything, you have nothing. Because Solomon lived his life under the sun, S-U-N. And his conclusion was, life under the sun is vanity. Listen to what he says in chapter 9, verse 5. For the living know they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no future reward, and even their name is forgotten. Now listen carefully. That is not true, at least not for us. We don't live our lives under the sun, S-U-N. We live in the sun, S-O-N. And that makes all the difference. In the sun, S-O-N, there is hope. In the sun, S-O-N, there is purpose. In the sun, S-O-N, there is peace and meaning in life. And if you live your life in the sun, S-O-N, then when you get to your grave, it is not your terminal destination. It is the beginning of a whole new life. For the believer, in the sun, Jesus Christ, your tombstone is just a stepping stone into a very bright future. Now that's the first thing Solomon did not know. Here's the second. 10 times throughout this book of Ecclesiastes, you read these words, chasing after the wind. Does that sound like anybody you know? Sound like you? If you have kids, you're chasing your kids from practice to games, from rehearsals to recitals. You get them up, dressed, fed, off to school. Then they come home, do their homework, you feed them, get them off to bed, only to get up the next day and repeat the cycle. Between all that, you go to work, you run errands, you make appointments, you keep the house up, do the laundry. And if you're a single mom or dad, it's even harder. It's chasing after the wind. If you're a divorced father, you're working long hours or possibly 2 jobs to pay the bills. And on one hand, alimony, on the other hand, child support. You're stuck in traffic, taking long flights to business meetings. It's chasing after the wind. Is that you? God never intended you to live like that. So what we know that Solomon did not know is this. We are not chasing after the wind. We are driven by the Spirit. And if you learn to follow Jesus Christ and to be led by the Spirit, your life will be substantially different. But how do we do that in practical ways? Solomon's advice is really good. You can sink your teeth into this. Since you cannot control the future, you need to take control of what is in your control. You cannot control the stock market. You cannot control a pandemic. You cannot control the weather. There's so much you cannot control. So take control of what is in your control. You can control who you will follow, the crowd, the news, or the Father. You can control how you respond to the things you cannot control. You can panic and respond in fear, go into survival mode, hoard things selfishly, or you can respond by being led by the Spirit and care about your neighbor, make sure as best as you can that everyone has what they need. Does that sound familiar? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then what? Your neighbor as yourself. Pastor Jeff, if this pandemic has shown us anything, it has shown us the difference between those who are chasing the wind and those who are led, who are being led by the Spirit. Would you agree?
I agree.
And let me say to our MCC family, I'm pretty sure I speak for all of our leadership when I say this. I'm so proud of you right now, I can just burst at the seams. You are truly being led by the Spirit through this pandemic. You're still making maps for the homeless. You're still bringing peanut butter. You're still passing out bread to our community. You're making masks for others. You're running to the store for those who can't. You're taking your neighbors to the doctors. And you're staying faithful in your worship. You're staying faithful in your generous support of our ministries. You're sharing together in Zoom meetings. And the list just goes on and on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me get us to our takeaway with Solomon's closing words. Chapter 12, verse 13, Solomon says this. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. You remember those famous words of President John F. Kennedy at his inauguration? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Well, here's our takeaway. Ask not, can I live without all the answers? Ask, will I live by faith without all the answers? Father God, thank you for your word, for its guidance, for its wisdom. Thank you for preserving for us the wise words of Solomon. Help us to understand that sometimes we're not going to understand. But when we don't understand, we still have your amazing grace to stand under. Increase our faith to trust that whether it's a pandemic or anything else, when we don't have the answers, help us to continue to trust that you do. And when we have no control over things, help us to remember you do. And when we have no idea what our next step is, you do. So let us commit to love you, to let your Spirit lead us, and to love you and our neighbor as ourselves. Now, Father, people of faith understand all of that. It's hard for us sometimes to do it, but we understand it, so we ask for more wisdom, more faith, more boldness, more courage. We ask for more of you. But Father, there are probably many listening this morning who don't know you personally, who are not being led by the Spirit, but are being swept along, being blown around by the winds. Help them to hear this morning, Father, and just be still and know that you are God. If there are decisions that you're working on in the hearts of those who are listening today, Father, help them to make those decisions now. Forgive all of us where we fall short. We're not perfect, but you are. Continue to bless us, even when we don't have all the answers. We have a God who does. And for that, we give you our praise and all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.